Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The all-new Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Everybody's your friend.
I try.
Smart, funny, and friendly sports talk for your workday.
Every caller is an idiot.
Dan Bernstein.
I will murder your whole effing family.
Layla Rahimi.
I don't think that jerk cares, actually.
Bernstein and Rahimi.
Hashtag blessed.
9 a.m. to noon.
My God, that's Layla Rahimi's music.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we're going to talk some Bulls to start. We got Blackhawks Talk at 10 with Mark Lazarus of The Athletic. George Offman tells us about his brand new podcast series that's coming out at 10:20, midday midway at 10:40. Jamal Collier on the Bulls from the Tribune at 11. And we've got all kinds of bits of news. There's some baseball stuff popping. There's some football jobs. We're going to keep you abreast of all of it today. And you should call us if you want to, because we have the Score listener line, 312-644-6767, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, you send that to Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. Feel free to send a text to the text zone. That's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Make sure you download the radio.com app. That way you stream The Score on your mobile devices. There's the Facebook page where you can interact with the show and the station when you like the 670 The Score page. Also, our video feed is in full effect. Brian Gertsch is directing twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can get engaged in the chat there as well. Jay Zawoski's our executive producer. And once again, pulling a double shift today, Ray Diaz is on the board, the Mexicutioner, doing the things that he does. So my expectations for the Bulls are at the point now where I'm disappointed when they don't play well, because I've seen them play well. And now against two teams that are significantly better than they are, they got their ass kicked in the last two games. And they deserve to, because they're not tough enough and they don't take care of the basketball.
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much the summary, isn't it? We can take the rest of the show off now. But the way you put it is absolutely true. It's the turnover problem. It's the fact that they are beating up on teams we expect them to beat, and they are not beating teams that are Eastern Conference playoff contenders. The Jeff Van Gerwen stat that is just the most appropriate and frustrating is the one he keeps updating whenever they take on Eastern Conference playoff opponents. Since the start of last season, they are now 0-24.
Jeez. 0-24 against Eastern Conference playoff teams.
Correct. So that Good tells you Lord. Exactly who they're playing well and who they're not playing well. But there has been a bit of a Bulls expectation roller coaster, hasn't there? I felt it among fans, myself. We're discussing it now. I feel like
there's the deboilization process of the understanding that you can only hold that team to a certain level of expectation because they didn't really have a competent coach. And then there was, okay, this is going to take time. and we know it's going to take time. And I'm still there. I'm still in the bigger picture. See, the thing is, I don't like to think about the big picture once the game starts. And I think I can exist on multiple channels where I know this is year one. I know this is still evaluation. That whether you're starting Tomas Satoransky or whether you're starting Coby White and trying to figure out who should be running your team, I know that they are looking at a completely different timetable where we feel like we've been with this group for a while. And we have. They haven't. So when the game starts, I'm meatball mode, and I get mad when they're kicking the ball all over the place. But it is evaluation. It's important to me to keep asset value high. The primary reason I want people to play well, where Lowry Markkanen is making me absolutely crazy, and we'll get into that. But I want guys to keep their value as high as possible because there's still going to be moving pieces. There's still going to be transactions, and you want them to be dealing from a position of strength heading into what is going to be, by all accounts, a really, really good draft with some potentially foundational franchise players.
And to me, you just hit the nail on the head. It's that they knew that this, 14 of 17 players that they returned on the roster were going to have more value in their system. Let's just all make that very clear. Your deboilinization process is with tons and tons of merit. So we've seen that, right? We've seen them add value and bring value back to players because they put them in better positions to succeed. There is nobody who's a better example of that, in my opinion, right now than Thaddeus Young. That has a body of work that speaks for itself. There's no doubt about that. But to see how he's just working day in and day out on this team in that bench unit, 16 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds, man, that is a line. But we're seeing the value of everybody overall being raised. So it stands to reason that somebody's going to get traded because you've brought the value up on all these players. You're going to get more for them this year than you sure would have last year. And let's not forget that last year we're sitting there at media day and I'm hearing Gar Pax talk about how they want to make the playoffs. So that was the expectation. We had a couple years of tank. Then we had a playoff expectation. And now we're back to what do we expect to see out of this team? And if there is a tank happening, it's a soft tank. It's a subtle tank. They're not going to talk about it. But we're definitely trying to raise some value, I think, of players, and that leads to winning more games, and the expectations get higher. But at the end of the day, this is still a team that's very much tankish potential.
Yeah, especially if you are dealing away these veterans that have held you together and dealing away the second unit guys that have set the example. Like, I'm so glad you mentioned Thad Young because he's one of the few guys on this team that plays with a degree of physical toughness. You know, I know we watch Gafford come flying in for slam dunks and trying to work his way in the post because he's not a shooter. That's the only place he can play. But it's more than that. It's getting pushed off a spot. It's getting a shoulder moved out of the way by an open hand just to allow an angle for a shot. The Bulls are really soft. They're smarter. They're better. But they're on defense, they're physically soft. And Thad Young is not. He's an exception to that. But too many of these guys get moved around too easily, or they engage a little bit late or a little bit timidly. And the other aspect is the way they turn the ball over. It's a sampler platter of turnovers. It isn't just one kind. It's every kind, and it's too many, and it's costing them games. But man, if you want the kick out pass to a spot where there was supposed to be a guy and there's no guy there, like the one that goes into the third row and they all kind of look at each other, there's that's a specialty. There's the dribble into a double team.
Denzel's had a few of those.
Yeah, there's the dribble into a double team and just have it knocked away from you. There's that. There is the not knowing where a help defender is coming from on your pass and someone steps into a passing lane that you should have seen. There's that one. There's also the Zach LaVine specialty is the kind of get in the air, uncertain of what you're going to do with the ball and then throw it too close to a guy's defender and have it tipped away and scramble. Then there's that turnover. There's every kind. There's dribble it off your own foot. They've got that too. And I don't know how you practice against turnovers.
Well, I think you practice against turnovers by getting better at your passing and your assists, number one. And then number two, you're judging this team, rightfully so, because we all knew that they were better than what they indicated last year. But you're judging them like they're a potential playoff team, and I don't think we're there yet. Like, I think this de-boilinization process takes some actual legitimate time.
I'm sure it does.
But, you know, even as recently as 3 days ago, did you know that they were fourth in the league in points per game, seventh in field goal percentage, seventh in three-point field goal percentage? Not in the East. In the league, they were in the top 10 in five offensive categories 3 days ago.
Yeah, there's some.
That ain't nothing. Dan.
It's not all bad. And that's why, you know, you do think, especially, you know, another one of these weird years where now they know because of postponements, teams are going to have an uneven number of overall games played. And it's probably going to be some, you know, unjust and unfair determination about who makes what spots in the playoffs. But when all those things are going on, that makes me want them to tighten up other aspects of their game. It makes me want them to sort of get this rotation figured out a little bit. But what you're saying, that's why Denzel Valentine is playing, because he can shoot and he can pass. And right now they're going with guys who can do that. But, you know, he turns it over too. He struggles on defense too. He obviously is a below-the-rim wing in a league that doesn't have a lot of below-the-rim wings. I want to see them be mentally tougher. I want to see them be physically tougher. But like you say, I'm watching because there are some spurts of really entertaining basketball and some times where they really do a lot of good things.
And, you know, keep in mind, Wendell Carter Jr. is missed on this team right now, especially defensively. Like, when you consider that, I think it makes a lot more sense. Like, you want Gafford to play. Do you want him to start? That's the question. You know,
no.
You want... Yeah.
I don't want him to start. I still don't think Kobe White's a point guard.
Struggled last night. I mean, 5 points, one assist, two turnovers, fouled 2 3-point shooters in the fourth quarter. Like, that's concerning.
Coaches love the John Woodenism, the be quick but don't hurry, and too often he looks hurried, and it looks like his quickness is just he's moving quickly for its own sake rather than with a purpose, and that's when you know the game isn't slowing down for him in that way. Did you hear that supposedly like LeBron James was calling out their plays, and LeBron knew exactly mm-hmm. what they were running each time and was pointing at, like, you go over here, you be ready here, and the Bulls like, how does this guy know everything? Like, well, duh, it's LeBron.
Well, I think they were also just, you never stop being impressed by LeBron. I can't believe all the LeBron and Tom Brady love I've given out of the last 2 days. You never stop being impressed by LeBron. And he's like Rondo in that effect. Like, he knows what plays you're calling. Like, he watches more film, everybody says, than anyone. And he saw it. I know that there's a lot being placed right now on this team defensively. And for what it's worth, I think after we saw that first game with Trae Young, just absolutely eat the Bulls alive, like carve them up. I think that that's kind of stick in our heads for a while because that shouldn't have happened. But we knew that there was going to be an expectation roller coaster with this team because we're like, new regime, awesome, different coach, great. What is this defense? Panic. Why are there not more new guys? Confusion. Oh, are they going to trade some of those guys? Soft tank potential? Wait, but there's other dudes who have a lot of potential, but they're young. So it's a rebuild. And I think that's where we are on this whole spectrum.
I agree. In game me and immediately after the game me is different than a little more aware and reserved and understand. Like, I get riled up in the game when I see the same things happen. Like, little things make me crazy, and then they start to add up. Lowry Markkanen makes me crazy. I don't know sometimes why he just can't be in the moment and be aggressive and do what other guys are doing, or hit a damn open shot once in a lifetime. Because I don't think this is like that. he's getting close to Ersan Ilyasova territory where it's like, I it doesn't stick in my mind when he makes a shot. I only remember when he misses them. It's this complete observational bias that I can never remember. And he makes shots all the time. They just don't register in my head. And I only picture him missing. The other thing is, and I don't have the stats on this, fouling 3-point shooters. Stop it. Stop fouling 3-point shooters. And I don't know why they do it all the time. And I know you can get baited into it where you come hard around the ball screen and you pull right up. And the guy's chasing. Oh, I ran into you. But just learn, practice, do so. Be ready for that. Do something. Stop fouling 3-point shooters. They have to lead the league in it.
Well, Kobe had 2 in the fourth quarter alone.
I don't know how you practice against it. I don't know what drill you run, but I'm sure you just show that action and say, when this happens, don't run into the guy who's shooting a 3-point shot. Stop it. I wouldn't make a very good coach.
Put your hands up. Right. I don't know. I think this is all pretty good stuff. I mean, your Larry Markkinen induced mood, I think, says everything, really. But he only had 4 shots at the half. He only took 4 shots. Like, that was not the half you wanted to see out of the Bulls or Larry Markkinen.
No, and says
that's your concern.
You know, he says, I have to be more aggressive. I know that. I've got but sometimes even in his moments, it looks like he's saying to himself, this is a time for me to be really aggressive. And he has this foray to the basket where he's just kind of jumping over people and trying to go foul hunting, where that isn't really it. Where you can do it on the offensive glass. You can do defensive rebounding. There's a place where you can exert yourself. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to put my head down and go to the basket to show my aggressiveness. So there's, I hope they unlock him. I hope they figure him out because he just looked in between to me.
Well, and whenever I was asking the previous regime, and we would ask them often about how to help Larry Markkinen get him going, that typical phrase, the answer at the time was always, well, he needs to get more rebounds. And I don't know, man. I just don't think it's sustainable to have a transition-based defense fueler offense like that. But I think he's being asked to do a lot of different things and has been asked to do different things. So you have to ask yourself, where is Meatball Dan's patience level with Larry Markkinen? Are you giving him a deadline? Are you going to wait it out a little bit?
I have to.
Do you need to see a certain stat?
I don't know. I think I have to wait it out and look at the entire picture, right? I mean, isn't that, I have to do that responsibly, because if I am evaluating him like a potential trade partner, I guess I have to look at it that way. What am I getting? And evaluate the Bulls' development of him, because another team may think the Bulls are using him wrong.
That's my biggest fear. Is that all of these Bulls players who are still very much learning the new Billy Donovan system have way higher ceilings than any of us might even know, and that they get traded for something that the Bulls don't get exceptional return for, and then they end up just balling out on other teams. I think that's a real possibility if they don't see this through. They have a later trade deadline. I don't know if it's going to work in anybody's favor. It sure is making the veterans look good. Like, sure putting the veterans in a good spot.
She's Layla
Rahimi.
What
happens if they trade them?
And I'm Dan Bernstein. And when we come back, we've got some sound from the pregame last night with Will Perdue and Kendall Gill telling some stories that I think you're going to want to hear. It's entertaining stuff. It's next on The Score.
I give y'all 4 tries to beat mine. 1 toss.
1 toss?
Yeah.
And 4 tries?
Yeah.
Yeah, I take it.
Okay. Put your money up first. Well, I've seen it.
How much? $20?
Yep.
You can beat that.
4 tries. Come on back here.
Give it. Hey, yeah, CT.
Hey, man, your stuff rolls. You see how he just roll up there?
See, watch this roll right in my pocket. I got good at this.
Yeah, y'all get the hell out of here. Go protect the damn United Center. Security!
Yes,
come get security out of here.
The unvarnished Michael Jordan from The Last Dance. pitching quarters with his guys, with the security guards. There's never a time to not be gambling. There's always a game to be had. There's always somebody to be humiliated when you're Michael Jordan. Someone's money you can take, somebody you can make feel miserable by defeating them at something in the moment. And I guess that was the subject of some of the pregame show last night.
Yeah, and every time you talk about that, right, I listen to that audio, the meme just pops in my head, and I took that personally. I'm like, yeah, man, take it personal. It was a pretty cool concept last night at NBC Sports Chicago in the pregame show. Brian Scalabrine was a part of it out of the Boston studio, and then Kendall and Will, of course, a part of it as well. They called it the Players Only segment and just told stories, and I think it turned out really well. And one of them was about gambling. So I thought it would be at least a nice little fresh Bulls angle. Take our mind off of last night's loss. Let's check it out.
What are some of the craziest things you've seen guys bet on?
Well, I saw Scotty Burrell lose a $35,000 hand on the plane back from the West Coast trip to Alonzo Mourning. That was pretty big, man.
You know, we all know how competitive Michael is, right? Cards, blackjack. Well, remember when I first came into the league, we were traveling on United Airlines, so we had to walk through O'Hare Airport. He would go buy two copies of the paper. He'd get the word jumble, you know, where you got to find the words and circle them, and then he'd be willing to bet on them. You, who wants to do it? 10, 20, whatever you're willing to do it, ready, go. And whoever could find all the words the quickest.
Word find. That's great.
Like, I mean, how do you even come up with something that fast? like you just need that all the time. You need it like tap straight to your veins.
Well,
I just can't get over it.
What we used to do when I traveled with the pro basketball team was when we all had our team issued duffel bags, where when we were at baggage claim, we'd say dollar on the bags. And we got what? We got $20 of meal money a day? Just the straight up per diem. So a dollar, it's a lot for a minor league basketball player. And everybody would give the trainer a dollar. And then whoever's team duffel came out of the baggage claim first won the pot. That was a regular thing. And then there was the typical, I know the Bulls did this too, there was the end of practice or end of shoot around half court shot where everybody put in a dollar, and then you'd whoever made the half court shot, you would go through the whole team once. And I got to do this today. The coach did it, I would do it too. I only won once. But they would you would go through it, and if like the first guy made it, everybody else would have a chance to match, and then it would go to a second round. But if usually only one person made it the first time through, and that was usually a way to end a shoot around when everybody's all hungover anyway.
They also had some pretty good trash talk conversations and brought up Larry Bird. Do you want to check that out?
Oh, well, he's the king. Yeah, absolutely.
The Celtics have Larry Bird. Obviously, the Bulls have Michael Jordan, two guys known for their trash talking. Tell me some of the stories about some of the biggest trash talkers you guys have ever played against.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned one of them, Larry Bird. When I was a rookie, Larry Bird at the Boston Garden in Boston said to me, and he had the basketball out at the three-point line. And by then, Larry was done, but you know, because of his back, but he could still shoot the basketball. He has the basketball right here, Will, and he goes, "Come here, rookie, come here, rookie." And like a dumb rookie, I went, and he rises up, knocks down the shot, and then on our way back down the court, he's like, "You dumbass rookie, why did you go?"
I'll take it even a step further, because we had a situation where I jumped out, had Larry Bird dead to rights.
Yeah.
Took a charge, whistle blew, I was all jacked up, and he goes, "Rookie, what are you talking about? That foul's on you." And I said, "What?" And then Danny Ainge walked by and said, "You better know who you're talking to, rookie."
Yeah, that's the way it was, man.
And trash talking is more than just when you're playing against opponents in the NBA. I remember I went to Michael Jordan's basketball camp, and I was a counselor there. And, you know, the first half you play with all the kids there, and Jordan's all high fives and nice job and all this stuff. All of a sudden, they let the campers go back to the rooms or the dorms, and a different guy comes out. So you guys had some experience with Jordan in practice. And what is he like, you know, day in and day out in practice?
Well, we'll have to answer that one. I never played with him, but yeah, I can tell you another story about
you
him. Go ahead.
I know that's some late night card games with him, but hey, let me put it this way, Scal. When MJ thought that Scotty was feeling his oats a little bit, he went to Phil and was like, Phil, put Scotty on the other team tonight. Make sure he guards me in practice. And basically, it was a one-on-one game, and the other eight guys just stood around and watched because it was entertaining. But he also let Scotty know who the king was.
All right. Yeah, and listen, one night I'm playing cards with Michael, and he just will not leave my house because I'm beating him out of all of his money. He will not leave my house until he wins all of his money back.
Well, we know that famous story at the Mohegan Sun. He doesn't leave any house until he wins all his money back. That's just classic stuff. My favorite Bird trash talk story was when he was playing against the Supersonics, and Xavier McDaniel was guarding him at the end of a close game. You know, it's possession, and Bird is inbounding the ball, and they're waiting to come out of the TV timeout. And he goes, hey, X-Man, come here. He goes, you know what's going to happen here, right? I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm going to inbound the ball. I'm going to throw it in. Then I'm gonna run over there. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to pump fake. And you're going to fall for the pump fake. And I'm going to hit a three. And he's like, yeah, whatever, Larry, whatever. And he did. And he did. And he inbounded. And he cut. And he cuts back. And he catches. And he pump fakes. Up in the air he goes. And he drains the three. He's like, I told you all this was going to happen.
And you're going to fall for the pump fake.
Yes. He told him.
And you're going to fall for it.
Because a well-executed fake like that is almost it's almost like a neural response that there's something hardwired in your brain that you're it's reflex that you're going to do it anyway. If it's that good a fake, there's nothing you can do about it.
And you know what's funny is like that's the stuff that like celebrates and separates the true greats from everybody else when they know and they know how to do it and they know they can still get you and they are so good at it that they still do it. Like that's what separates everybody. What's that phrase Jason Kidd said? That's what separates the professionals from the taxpayers. You never heard that?
No, that's good. I haven't heard that. But there's stories
Jason
like that.
Kidd.
About Cassius Clay in a Muhammad Ali in fights saying things like that. And it's just like the stuff like Larry Bird. It's like describing what he was going to do while he was stalking somebody around the ring. He's like, I know you're going to throw a 1-2 combination. I'm going to duck and I'm going to get over here and then I'm going to hit you in the ear. Like, and he would say it as it was going on and like do play by play for it. And the whatever poor sucker was standing in front of him was about to get his lights turned out.
Oh, yeah. Like, my ankles would be broken on so many crossovers. Just so many. Like, there's nothing I can do. It would just happen. This is a good texter, by the way, 847. Says, in college, we had a 12x12 sign on our backstop of the baseball diamond. After practice, we would all stand at the grass of the center field and try to hit it with a throw. Whoever hit it first rang free for the night. I love stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they used to always, I mean, good little league coaches have a way of doing that where you set the bucket of balls and have everybody, it's like the Tom Emanski throwing into the garbage can, right? Kids who have trouble paying attention, they always start to focus when there's something like that. And if there's a bag of big league chew that is the prize there, all of a sudden, all these kids that are there picking dandelions and picking their nose and staring off into space, they focus real quick when the big league chew is available to them for a well-executed throw.
Parenting tricks with Dan. I like it.
Well, that's, you know, house league baseball tricks is what that is. I mean, travel teams, they're pretty focused, competitive kids. But, like, when you're talking, you know, 8U, 9U, and some of the house league kids who are only playing because they're, you know, they don't even know which hand to put the glove on because the parents insisted they play baseball. That's, you gotta play more games to get them to focus on that. We are going to talk hockey next because the Blackhawks have won a couple straight against an absolutely horse crap opponent. So I don't know exactly what the meaning of it is. And now they've got some COVID issues as well. To talk about all of it, Mark Lazarus of The Athletic will join us next. Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.